If you would turn in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5. We have the great privilege to open God's Word and to hear from it and to hear the preaching of it. And our sermon title this morning is Long-Suffering Love. Long-Suffering Love. And as I mentioned in my prayer, this is a hard one. This is a hard one for us as Christians. And so we're going to be reading Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Beginning at verse 13. Let us now hear God's word. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Thus far the reading of God's Word. I would encourage you, dear friends, to keep your Bibles open as we look at this passage together. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was a man by the name of John Selwyn. John Selwyn. And he was known as the great missionary in the South Pacific. In fact, some people called him the Bishop of the South Pacific. At one time, John was known to be a great boxer. He was known for his boxing skills in the ring. Then God took hold of his life, and Brother John turned to the Lord, repented, placed his faith in Jesus, became a Christian. And then he eventually became a great missionary in the South Pacific. And it was reported one day that as he was ministering in a church, a gentleman who used to come to the church to visit was rebuked mildly and lovingly by Brother John. Well, this gentleman didn't really care for Brother John's rebuke. In fact, he became angry and bitter. And so he clenched his fist and knocked Brother John in the face. Now you can imagine this former boxer, who's probably ripped, muscles all over, looks at this guy and does nothing. He turns the other cheek. The guy clocks him again, and Brother John does nothing. This gentleman felt ashamed, and he ran into the jungle, never coming back again. It was too much for the assailant because he became greatly ashamed and fled. What held Brother John to keep his composure? What held him back from knocking the lights out of this guy who viciously assaulted him in this church setting? Well, brothers and sisters, the God-given ability to wait for a period of time without responding in anger or wrath or taking immediate action is what we call long-suffering or patience. Patience. This morning we're going to look at this virtue, this fruit of the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit that flows out of love. Hence the title, long-suffering love. In the famous love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul says, love is what? Patient. The literal word there is, love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Does not envy. This morning we're going to look at long-suffering love, and there are 3 points, and they're noted in your bulletin. 3 points, long-suffering love as an attribute of God, long-suffering love as an application of the Holy Spirit, and long-suffering love as an attitude of the Christian, as an attitude of the Christian. But first, brothers and sisters, we need to define long-suffering. We need to define it. Because long-suffering is not a word that we use in everyday language. We use the word patience or patient. In fact, many translations use the word patience. The NIV, if you look in your Bibles, chapter 5, verse 22, uses the word patience. The translators are not wrong to use this word. And we could have confidence in this translation. But the word long-suffering, which is used by the KJV, the King James Version, is a more helpful English word because it better communicates what this fruit of the Spirit is. And so we want to look at the idea of patience or long-suffering. What does it mean? There are 3 Greek words that communicate patience. 3 Greek words. 1 Greek word has the idea of forbearance. Bearing with one another, Paul says to the Colossian church. Bear with one another and forgive one another. Put up with each other. Forbear. Another Greek word that is used for patience is what Pastor Rich used a while ago in the patient endurance of the saints. You may recall his sermon on that. Hupomone. Hupomone. Patient endurance. It could literally be translated endurance. And this word means that you patiently endure during trials and tribulations, circumstances in life, suffering, sickness, mourning, spiritual depression. All of these circumstances in life require patient endurance, where we look to Jesus, fix our eyes on Him, the author and perfecter of our faith. We look to Him. And we patiently endure the suffering of our circumstances in life. The word the Apostle Paul uses in Galatians 5 is a different word. It's a different word. It's long-suffering. Makrothumia. Macro, which means long. Thumia, which means passion or suffering. This long-suffering that takes place. This word has to do with people. How we relate to one another. When somebody sins against you, how are you going to respond? When somebody attacks you, how are you going to respond? Are you going to be patient with the person? Are you going to be long-suffering? That's the word Paul's using here. There's a holding back of anger and judgment towards another person. In other words, it's having a long fuse instead of a short one. That's what's going on here. Let me give you an example from Scripture. The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1, if you would turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1 with me, beginning at verse 10. And how patience can be used. Paul uses the word patient endurance and long-suffering in the same sentence, beginning at verse 10 of Colossians chapter 1. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and long-suffering, patience. So may you go through these circumstances in life patiently enduring them in faith in the Son of God, and that you may bear with one another, that you may be long-suffering towards one another, so that you don't bite and devour one another, as Paul says in our passage in Galatians chapter 5. You want to prevent biting and devouring one another in your families, in your homes, in the church of Jesus Christ? Look to the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. Look to long-suffering. The Apostle Paul uses both of these words in the same sentence. So having defined long-suffering, let's look at the long-suffering love as it's an attribute of God. Of God. The fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, originates with God because God is long-suffering. It's in His very being. It's who He is, along with love, goodness, mercy, grace. They're reflections of God's character. This is why we must receive them from outside of ourselves through faith. I don't know about you, but the more that I think I'm patient or long-suffering, the more I realize how far short I fall from it. And I think you can sympathize with me with that. That's why I said, it's hard. It's hard. But we look to God for this long-suffering attitude, which we'll look at later. But how is God long-suffering? How is He long-suffering in His character, in His being? Well, one pastor writes these words. Long-suffering is an essential attribute of God whereby He refrains Himself from initially pouring out His full wrath upon the sinner, thus postponing His judgment and punishment. Meanwhile, bestowing benefits upon him. Think about that. He's postponing judgment and punishment upon people who deserve it, like you and me. Instead, he bestows his mercy. This is our God. His long-suffering love is revealed in his withholding of judgment and his bestowment of mercy and love. Please turn with me to Exodus chapter 34, a very important passage for us. And this passage came out in the call to worship that I read this morning. Exodus chapter 34. By the way, a little trivia question. This verse is the most quoted verse in the entire Old Testament. You find this verse in the Old Testament more than any other verse, beginning at verse 6 of Exodus chapter 34. And the Lord passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Notice that. Slow to anger. The Jews had the Hebrew Scriptures, but there was a period of time where the Hebrew Scriptures were translated into Greek. In fact, the Greek translation may have been the Bible that Jesus used back in the day. But in the Greek translation of the Hebrew, the same word that we have for long-suffering in the fruit of the Spirit list is there. Slow to anger, makrothumia. Our Lord is long-suffering. Now think about that. Think about that in the context of who the Israelites were and how they lived. Think about how He was slow to anger with the Amorites. Genesis 15. God was slow to anger. He did not hold their sin. He did not bring punishment upon their sin until 400 years later. He is slow to anger. He's patient. He holds back His anger in order to accomplish His will and purpose. Many people are coasting through life without God. You may be one of them. I don't know. God is patient with them. God is patient with them, even bestowing mercy upon them. How? The food that they eat, the rain that falls on their farms, you name it. And yet there's a denial of the true God. God is patient, waiting for all to come to repentance and faith. But there will be a time when He will fulfill His purpose. He will bring judgment and punishment, His wrath. The psalmist cries out, "How long, O Lord? How long? I'm waiting, Lord, for You to take care of the sin issue that's going on in my life and in the life all around me. My enemies are pursuing me. My own sin, the devil, the world. How long, O Lord?" The Lord is patient. He's long-suffering. The Apostle Paul writes, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and long-suffering," or patience, "not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance." At the same time, one author says, the patience or long-suffering of God can never imply irresolution or uncertainty on God's part. Listen to what he says. As though he could decide only after a period of waiting. I'll wait a little bit, and then I'll find out whether this person is going to repent and believe or not. No, it's not how God works. Nor does it imply compliance or indulgence. God's patience does not overlook anything. It simply looks further than man. It has the end in view. It has the divine insight which knows best. It is not swayed by human emotion. We could see in the history of Israel how God waited patiently when they rebelled against Him and served idols. He waited patiently. But this does not mean that in the course of time, in the course of their history, He did not discipline them for their sin. He didn't judge them in His wrath. He waited until that time when He would send the Son of God and Son of Man. He waited patiently for millennia before He sent His one and only Son into this world. The Apostle Paul, in chapter 4, if you look in your Bibles with me, to Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 3. "So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world." Now listen to what he says. "But when the fullness of when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive the full rights of sons." When the fullness of time came, when God said, "I'm going to take care of this sin problem and bring judgments upon My own Son for the sins of My people, to redeem them from the curse of the law, to purchase them, to save them." Our Lord is slow to anger towards the Israelites, and He's slow to anger towards us. He's slow to anger towards us because of His long-suffering love. In the New Testament, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ lives a life of long-suffering Himself. When He was tried by the religious leaders and by Pontius Pilate, did He open His mouth? Did He say, "This is an injustice"? No, He had His Father's will to do. He knew that His Heavenly Father would vindicate Him or exonerate Him. He did not say, like we can often say in our sinful hearts, "I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to do what? I'm going to get even. In fact, I'll one-up it. We want to be justified. We want to be declared righteous. We want our day in court with people. We want justice. Jesus had a mission to fulfill, called to suffer at the hands of men according to the will of God. And you know what? You know this. He was exonerated. He was vindicated when he was raised from the dead by his heavenly Father. 1 Timothy chapter 3. He appeared in the body and was what? Vindicated in the spirit. Our Lord God vindicated our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus looked to his heavenly Father. He gave his life. And as we'll see in a minute, we give our lives. We carry the cross of Christ in our everyday living. And Jesus, sitting at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, waits patiently with us, for us. He's slow to anger towards us, waiting for sinners to come to repentance. In 1 Timothy 1, Paul says to young Timothy, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited long-suffering patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Paul was a blasphemer of God, persecuted the church of God. And he recognizes God's long-suffering towards him. And he is called now, as we are, to be imitators of God in Christ, to reflect the character of our God and Savior. But the Holy Spirit of God must apply this fruit into our lives. When I delivered the message on the fruit of the Spirit, joy, I mentioned a pastor who said that the Holy Spirit is not a sourpuss. In other words, he's not a joy kill. Well, we'll say with the Holy Spirit in reference to long-suffering, the Holy Spirit is not like an angry man or a bitter man or a quick-tempered man who has the whip ready to strike. The Holy Spirit, too, is slow to anger. And the Holy Spirit applies long-suffering to our lives. To live by the Spirit means to live opposite of what Paul talks about in Galatians 5, verses 19 to 20. If you notice what he says there about the acts of the sinful nature, he talks about hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. You want to conquer that in your life? You need the Spirit of God to help you. And the fruit of the Spirit, called long-suffering, being slow to anger, slow to respond, is what defeats it. This does not characterize the nature of God. These acts of the sinful nature, they reflect the work of the devil. They reflect the work of the devil. But Paul calls us to walk by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, and practice long-suffering. And then we'll be changed from the inside out. The fruit of the Spirit's long-suffering is meant to sanctify the believer, set the believer apart from the world that seeks to play judge, jury, and executioner. Brother John Selwyn got knocked in the face. What's the response of the world? Retaliation. Don't get mad, get even. boys and girls you picked on in school, maybe? You picked on because of the way God created you to be? As hard as it is, God still calls us, boys and girls, to be long-suffering, to be patient, to not retaliate, to love our enemies as Jesus tells us to do. I know it's hard. We pray that God would give us what we stand in need of. And so we don't retaliate. Pray that the Spirit would apply this fruit of the Spirit into your heart and into your life. We've been given the Spirit as a gift by God. We've been given this fruit as a gift by God. It's planted into our hearts. We call upon Him so that we may practice it. Dear friends, are we practicing patience in our own homes? Men, are we short-tempered in our homes? Are we being what James calls us to be, slow to anger? Are we quick to listen, slow to speak? Parents, do we discipline our children in anger? Women, when you're home with a quiver full of children, and times are tough, how do we respond? Are we slow to anger or quick-tempered? Ready to lash out. Now, there's a fine line here. Don't get me wrong. We do discipline. We do discipline. But how do we discipline? Do we imitate our Father in heaven when we discipline our children? Do they see Christ working in and through us when we discipline our children? The Holy Spirit didn't apply the work of Christ into our hearts and plant within our hearts this fruit of the Spirit, Christian living would be impossible. Patience would be impossible. Sitting at a stoplight in New Jersey for 10 minutes would be impossible. This long suffering is needed in the community of faith. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 to be patient with one another, long-suffering with one another, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. And then he follows those words with these. Listen carefully. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Listen to that. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. The Holy Spirit applies this virtue for the purpose of preserving unity in the home, in the Church of Jesus Christ, and even in this world. The church, with all of its warts and all, is still a church made up of sinners who are redeemed by Jesus Christ. And if we apply this fruit of the Spirit in this setting, in our homes, we will know that peace, that fruit of the Spirit that came before patience. I encourage all of us to look here first before we look at someone else. Work on your heart like I have to work on my heart in the area of long-suffering or being patient towards another. And this moves us to an attitude of the Christian. So we looked at the attribute of God. Long-suffering love is an attribute of God. We looked at long-suffering love as an application of the Holy Spirit. And now let's look at long-suffering love as an attitude of the Christian. Since it comes to us through faith in Jesus Christ, we are to imitate or practice this virtue. in the midst of interpersonal conflict, how do we respond? Are we slow to anger? How do we practice this fruit? A minister was once approached by a young man who had a short fuse. And he asked the minister, Pastor, I guess if you say Domini, it would be Lord, but Pastor, I have a problem with anger. I have a short fuse. Can you pray for me? The pastor said, sure, I'll pray for you. So the pastor was praying. And he said, Lord, I pray that you would bring difficult circumstances into this young man's life. I pray that you would bring opposition into his life. At that point, the guy's like, wait, I asked you to pray for help, that I would not be quick to anger. What are you doing? He said, yeah, right, exactly. But you have to learn how to be slow to anger. And by learning, that means you need to face, I need to face opposition. Opposition teaches us the practice of long-suffering. Remember that. When we're in the midst of opposition, it's for a reason, a divine reason. It is for the practice of long-suffering along with other virtues that need to be practiced. Here are five things I want to give you in the area of attitude of the Christian, some takeaways. First, remember that God is long-suffering towards you. He is long-suffering towards me. We've pointed the finger at God plenty of times in our lives. Our sins nailed Jesus to the cross, the one who bore the wrath and judgment of God. And we need to reflect upon this truth every day as we think about practicing long-suffering towards others. Secondly, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Look to His example while facing maybe injustice or mean-spirited attacks, because He is the one who endured all that and suffered long through it. Third, we need to pray. We need to pray that God gives us the ability to be long-suffering. And it takes much prayer, because we cannot muster up this virtue in our own strength. If you are more susceptible to anger, if it's a serious problem for you, well, when you wake up in the morning, that should be the first prayer petition before God. You wake up and you pray, Lord, this is a thorn in my flesh. Please help me defeat it in this day by the power of your Spirit and your Word. Fourthly, remember that God's purposes will take effect in God's time. Long-suffering is inspired by trust in the fulfillment of God's promises. He will do what He sets out to do. He will judge. He will play judge, not us. We are to imitate Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. Vengeance isn't ours. Our duty is to love even our enemies. And lastly, fifthly, overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Evangelize the unbeliever with your words and actions. Be an example. Set an example to the believer by your words and actions. Years after the assailant who hit Brother John the man accepted Jesus through the faithful ministry of a missionary. And it was customary in that village to receive a new name, a Christian name, if you've been born again. And they asked this former assailant, this newborn Christian, if he would like to continue with that practice. He said, yes. He said, I would like to be called John Selwyn. I want to be called John Selwyn. He's the one who taught me what Jesus Christ is really like. This brought real joy to the missionary's heart, for he saw that that heeding the Savior's admonition to suffer long and wrongfully for his sake had resulted in an effective witness for Jesus Christ. God knows the end, we don't. But we know what to do in the present. And that is to be long-suffering. And not just long-suffering, but a long-suffering that is loving. A long-suffering love. Because long-suffering is a result of love. Brother John loved this man enough to be an example to him. He did not know the end. He did not know this assailant would come to know Jesus. But he knew that he had to fulfill God's law, the law of love. We are to imitate Christ. Let us do this by the power of His Spirit as we leave this place in this dark world that needs to not only hear the gospel, but see it through you and me. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us, O God, be our strength, our stronghold. You know the future. You have your divine purposes in place. We simply are called to trust and obey, to love as you have called us to love in the present. And may we do so by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.